Thank you, Rabbi Sam. Mo'adim l'simcha. Gemar chasim etova to everybody. Chag sameach to everybody. For the next 45 minutes or so, I want to develop a theme, and we're going to start with an attempt to explain, unlock, unmask, if you will, Hoshana Rabbah. And I'm going to ask 6 or 7 questions, which will lead in to our discussion. The first, this is really principally the first page, which is, I know, almost illegible for you, is from Ma'amore Pachad Yitzchak. These are presentations of Rav Huttner Zatzal from his notebook after he died. They're posthumous. We're going to ask a number of questions. Some of them will dovetail into what he says. We're not going to use the text completely. We might read 1 or 2 paragraphs inside, but much of what I want to say is not really in the Pachad Yitzchak. Some of it is, the core of it is. So let me ask 6 questions, 7 questions, and that will get us into, hopefully, some kind of a working understanding of the uniqueness of Hoshana Rabbah. First of all, Hoshana Rabbah itself is Chol HaMoed. So how did it become a Yom Tov? Is it a Yom Tov or is it Chol? What is it? We are allowed to do Malacha, so we have to get a reading on Chol HaMoed. Next question is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, in the 3rd parak of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Tesvav, where the Mishnah says that HaMevaze et HaMoadot, if someone is mevaza, he disgraces, he diminishes, he is dismissive of the moadot, of chagim, of yomim tovim, ein lo chelek l'olam haba. That's a very heavy statement. He has no place in the world to come. But what is bothersome to me is the Rambam's interpretation of this Mishnah. The Rambam says this is talking about Chol HaMoed. A very simple question. If someone disgraces the Yom Tovim, Yomim Tovim, the Chagim, isn't that enough? Why does the Rambam focus on Chol HaMoed? Why does he say that the Mishnah, the Tanna in the Mishnah is saying that if someone disgraces Chol HaMoed, ein lo chelek l'olam haba, not the first day and the last day of Sukkot, not the first day and the last day of Pesach, not Shavuot, not Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but Chol HaMoed, ein lo chelek l'olam haba. We have to get a handle on what the Rambam means. What's going on here? Next question. We know that Yom Kippur is a chatima. It's a seal. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says that we have Chodesh Elul, we have Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur is the chatima. It's the seal. It's the chosen, right? So all of a sudden, we're told that there's a second seal, a second chotem, right? This is not in the Gemara. It's not in our classic oral tradition. This comment that there is a second chatima, which we're all familiar with, originates in the Zohar. It's actually in 2 places in the Zohar. It's in Parshat Vayechi, the end of Bereshit, and it's also in Parshat Truma. And it is the Chachmei HaEmet, the Kabbalists, who tell us that we actually have a second seal. There are a double seal, a double good housekeeping seal of approval from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 1 on Yom Kippur and 1 on Chol HaMoed. What's that about? What is the utility of this second chasima, right? Another question is that there's one other place in Halacha where you have this concept of chasima b'toch chasima, of a double chatima, of a chosem b'toch chosem, chotem b'toch chotem. You know where that is? Yayin Nesach, Stam Yena, in wine that is not kosher. This was a decree of the rabbis that we do not drink wine made from non-Jews. Not that it's not kosher. Not, it's kosher. It's wine. But there is a special decree that the rabbis made because wine was the principal item that was used for Avodah Zarah, for idol worship. And since idol worship really almost doesn't exist anymore, the rabbis continued this decree and continued to forbid wine made by non-Jews, stam yenam, because of to create a sense of social intercourse, a distance from social intercourse, because wine is something that is, you know, used when we cocktail, when we party together. So as a kind of protection against intermarriage, to limit our social intercourse with Umat HaOlam, with the nations of the world. So they made a decree on wine. But wine, uniquely, has this halach of chosem b'toch chosem, also a double seal. It's the only other place where you have this double seal. Chol HaMoed is the double seal. Hoshana Rabbah is the double seal of Yom Kippur. And Yayin, you open your bottle of wine tomorrow night on Shabbat, on Yom Tov, and you'll see there's a double seal. No matter whether it's expensive wine, whether it's cheap wine, there's a double seal on that bottle of wine, okay? So we have to understand the connectedness between the double seal of Yom Kippur and Hoshana Rabbah and the double seal of Yayin Nesach, of wine, non-Jewish wine. Next question. The Rambam says that we call Sukkot Zman Simchatenu, which, by the way, continues through Hoshana Rabbah and Simchat Torah. It's Zman Simchatenu. But really, all the Chagim are Zman Simchatenu. The mitzvah Doraita, there's a Torah commandment to be Misameach on Yom Tov, right? That applies to all the Yom Tovim, all the Chagim. So why is Dafka Sukkot Chag Zman Simchatenu? And the Rambam actually codifies this in Halacha, and he says that there is a Simcha Yetera, an additional Simcha to Sukkot, to these days, from the beginning of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, into Shmini Atzeret, Simchas Torah. So we have to understand, perhaps, one aspect, at least, of the Simcha Yetera, the additional Simcha. Next question. There's a certain common thread of how we celebrate the Simcha on Sukkot, on Hoshana Rabbah, and on Shmini Atzeret Simchas Torah. And that common thread is dancing, right? The Hoshanas. We encircle the Bima every day, once in the Hoshana every day, and on Hoshana Rabbah seven times, and on Shmini Atzeret Simchas Torah we go seven times, seven hakafot with the Torah. What is this? What is the utility? What is the intent? What is the meaning? What is the definition of dancing? And why is this the central motif of our celebration? And it, in a certain sense, reaches a crescendo on Hoshana Rabbah with seven times around the Bima. The next question is, there's a very strange statement that many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with, that we have the Simchat Beit HaShoeva on Sukkot. Now, unfortunately, this year, we are almost bereft of the great Simchat Beit HaShoeva, of gathering together, men and women and children, gathering together in our Batei Knesset, in our shuls, in our yeshivot, with bands, with music, with celebration, and celebrating the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Simchat Beit HaShoeva is a great moment, which we're not gonna go into it. There's a great deal to talk about there, but just one strange comment of Hillel HaZaken. When he came to the great Hillel HaZaken, when Hillel came to the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, he made a statement, Imani kan hakol kan. If I am here, everyone is here. Very strange statement. It's kind of a central quote for the great simcha of these days, and particularly Sukkot and Hoshana Rabbah. Now Rashi says that he's speaking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God is really saying, he's saying in the name of God, Imani kan hakol kan, if I'm here, everybody's here. But that really doesn't answer the question. It even makes the question stranger that Hillel is speaking, taking the liberty to speak for the Rabbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's saying that if I'm here, God is here, everybody's here, but Hillel's saying it. So we have to get a handle on that, right? So those are our questions, okay? So let's attempt to answer those questions. Leave the sheet alone. We're going to, because not all of this is in the sheet, and let's attempt to answer the questions. The first question is, Chol HaMoed. Why does the Rambam say that Chol HaMoed is the Chag, the Yom Tov, right? Because Chol HaMoed is Chol and Moed. It is Chol, it is Kodesh, Moed, and it's Chol. It's non-Kodesh. The whole purpose, not only of Chagim, but the whole purpose of Torah, the whole purpose of our developing an intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to synthesize the holiness and the secular part of our lives, right? The physicality, the material life, and the Kedusha, Torah, Mada, it all comes together. That's Chol HaMoed. And you can't have one without the other. You know, there's a famous story in Jewish folklore about, you know, every town had a tailor, and of course a rav, and a dayan, and a mikveh attendant, and a ganef. It was every town had the official town ganef, the thief of the town. So the rabbi of the town was sitting in his study, and he was learning with his gemara, and there was a knock on the door, and he opens the door, and who's there? The town ganef, the town thief, the village thief. Rabbi, can I speak to you? Please, come in. He sits down, and the rabbi is sitting there over his gemara, and across his table is the town ganef, and he starts crying. He says, Rebbe, I want to do tshuva. I don't want to be the town ganef anymore. Please, what do I do? How do I do tshuva? Of course, the rabbi, he takes out a gemara, and he takes out a Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, and he takes out a Musar Sefer and some Tehillim, says some Tehillim with him, and he shows him the basic, you know, tshuva at 101, how to repent. And the gun of the town thief thanks the rabbi, says, thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Rebbe. Thank you so much. And he leaves the rabbi's house, and he goes out. And the rabbi goes back to his gemara, and he opens up the gemara, and he wants to know what time it is. You know, he spent a lot of time with the gun, so he reaches into his vest pocket for his gold watch, and it's gone. His gold watch was taken. He says, what's going on here? He says, there's only one answer to this question. And he runs outside, and he runs after the town ganef, and he says, ganef, do you have my watch? He says, yes, Rebbe, I have your watch. He says, how did you do that? You came to me, you wanted to do tshuva. You didn't want to steal anymore. And you took my watch. He looks at him and he says, Rebbe, he says, listen, it's very simple. Religion is religion and business is business. I want to do tshuva, but you know, listen, religion is Chol HaMoed. You cannot say religion is religion and business is business. It's all one. Every day is Yom Tov in the sense of Kedusha, of sanctity, of holiness. You can't be a Jew on Shabbat, a Jew in the shul, and a goy, a non-Jew, and a non-observant Jew in the street. It's Hainuhach. And that's what the Rambam, that's the Chiddush of the Rambam. If someone does not understand this principle of the synthesis of our physicality and our spirituality, that they're really all one, then he really has missed the entire message of Torah. And that brings us to the two chasimos, the two seals. What are the two seals all about? The Nefesh HaChayim, Rav Chaim Volozhin, teaches us that before, when we were created, Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet, Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, before the sin, sin was external. It was not part of us. Sin was outside. We had the ability to maintain our distance from sin, right? But like a barking dog, sin was like a kelev noveach, like a dog barking at us from the outside. The sin of the nachash coming to Chava and having relationships with Chava, and Chava transmitting that to Adam HaRishon, there was an injection of chet in our persona. So what took place at that moment was originally sin was an external thing. We could handle it better. But once it became part of us, there was a ta'aruvot. There was a mingling of good and bad. And that is what we grapple with today. How do we separate good from bad when it is intermingled? Much more difficult than when sin is outside of us and we can attempt to control it from inside. These are the two dimensions of sin. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is our avodah to get rid of that taruvot, that sin that is part of our normal lives as a result of the original sin. So it's a period of detox, of getting rid of that impurity, of bittul, of clarity, of clarification. That is the chatima of Yom Kippur. From Rosh Chodesh El until Yom Kippur, from Rosh Hashanah, the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, we detox from that taruvot, from that mingling of good and bad, and we get rid of it. We have clarified ourselves of that. That's the chatima of Yom Kippur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment seals us and tells us we have gotten rid of that, right? Now, once we have reached that great moment of clarity, of clarification, of forgiveness, of purity, right? Then we have to now be mevatel. We have to clarify and protect ourselves and detox from that other sin because we've now returned. Since we've gotten rid of that mixture within us, that sin, right? Our tshuva is accepted. So now the chet is outside of us. It's external from us. Now we have to somehow get rid of that, right? We have to be mevatel that. We have to clarify that sin, the external sin, because we've now returned to Adam Arishon Kodem Achet. We're now the original man again. So from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, the way we clarify and detox is with inuyim, with suffering, with not eating on Yom Kippur. We don't eat, we don't bathe. All the things we don't do is to clarify, to clean out that physicality, that mixture of physicality and spiritual. But now we are spiritual people, right? So the detoxing has to be with simcha. It's a totally different experience of clarifying of ourselves, of being mevatel the evil. The evil is outside, of creating a fence and a protection against that evil. And that's done by simcha. That is the process of Hoshana Rabbah. That's the second chatima. That's the second seal. It's no longer a suffering kind of a seal, but it's a celebratory moment of sealing. This is the ultimate on Hoshana Rabbah. When we go around seven times, right? Seven times, which is reminiscent of Shivat Yemei Bereshit, because we have returned to the moment of creation. We have that special relationship with God. So on Hoshana Rabbah, when we celebrate the two seals, the two protections that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us, we're really giving ourselves, right? Because we have gone through this process of getting rid of that sin that we created way back then with Adam and Chava, our original selves. And now we're protecting ourselves with the simcha, the moments of simcha, to protect ourselves from that external evil, right? And that is why we have a simcha yetera, a simcha yesera, an additional simcha on Sukkot, because it's not only the original chatima, the original seal, it's the second seal as well. We've restored ourselves to our origins. Now, how do we celebrate that simcha? How do we completely remove ourselves and become pure, holy people with a purpose in life to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a meaningful way? We dance. What is the utility of dancing? And what is the origin of dancing? What is the central motif that the rabbis speak about when it comes to dancing? And here, we will go to the words of Rav Huttner. So if you look on page one, right, and you will see the second last paragraph, okay? Actually, the third last paragraph. One, two, 3, the fourth paragraph on the page. Hine, Amru Ketzad Meraktim Lifnei HaKala. Right? This is the central motif of dancing in our Torah. How do we dance in front of a Kala? How do we express the simcha to the Kala, her marriage? Answer, Kala Na'eh V'chasuda. We sing to her. Every Jewish bride is a beautiful bride and a pious bride. This is how we dance. Now, what's wrong with this statement? The rabbis ask, how do you dance before a bride? Well, dancing is with the feet. It's a movement of the body, the feet. And the answer is by singing, Kala Na'eh V'chasuda. So what does singing have to do with dancing? And what does dancing have to do with singing? But perhaps the two come together to explain the uniqueness of Hoshanas and Hakafos, of going around the Bima, and particularly the origin is dancing for Chatan Kala, for Chosen Kala. And let's read the next paragraph from Rav Huttner. Achshav Neva'er et ha-Nekuda ha-Pnimit shel ha-Tanug sh'ha-Nefesh mita'aneget al ha-Rikud. What is the uniqueness of dancing? What is the uniqueness of the Simcha of dancing? I'll tell you outside, he says. We have a number of senses, right? But three of our senses are abstract senses, right? Kol, Mara, right? Voice, sound, Mara, sight, and Reach, and fragrance, right? Kol, voice, is the lowest abstract sense that we experience as human beings. How do we know that? Because there are brachas that we make for Reach, there are brachas that we make for sight. When we see the Yama Gadol, we see certain things, we make a bracha, we see, right? But there's no bracha for general bracha for kol. There are specific mitzvahs, kol shofar and so on, but in general, there's no bracha for different kolot, right? So it's the lowest common denominator of the abstract, let's say the spiritual relationship with God that we can't hard to get our hands on. It's spiritual, it's abstract. What is the lowest physical, material activity of the human being? It's tnua, it's movement. It's the lowest because even animals move, even animals walk. What dancing is, explains Rav Huttner, is taking the lowest common denominator of spirituality, kol, and the lowest common denominator of physicality, and uniting them in this circle. This circle, and what we're saying is the lowest point of chol, the lowest point of physicality of our material existence is really the highest point of celebration from the tip of our toe to our neshama, to our heart, to our brain, to our head. This is the ultimate simcha. And where do we go get this from? From dancing with Chosen Kala, because we are returning. Remember, at this point, we've done tshuva for the taruvot, for the mingled, the most difficult sin that was given to us after the sin. And we've also done tshuva with simcha, not with suffering, with simcha, with our dancing from the original expression of sin outside of us, right? And we return to Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet, we return to this unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And that's why the origin of this notion of dancing, using the voice, using the movement, the lowest movement, and the lowest spiritual, and elevating it, is with the Simcha of Chatan V'Kala. The beautiful, what is marriage? It is Adam HaRishon again. Man is returning. Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve are joining together. When Chosen and Kala come together again, it's back to Bereishis. And therefore, we have seven Hakafos on Hoshana Rabbah, that ultimate moment of Bereishis. And by the way, there are 10 days, just like there are 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Kippur, there are 10 days from Yom Kippur until Hoshana Rabbah. The same for that second that easier kind of tshuva, that second seal, that second chasima, right? But it's all wrapped into this dancing for chosen kala. That's where it comes from, because that's what it is. That's the original man. And that's Hillel. And that's what he said, Imani kan hakol kan. He's saying, God, it's me. It's me. Can you recognize me? It's me again. I'm back to what I'm supposed to be. I'm clarified. I'm ready to have an intimate relationship with you. And Rashi says he's speaking from God. God is saying, Imani kan hakol kan. Because here, Adam now has the right to speak on behalf of God, so to speak, because we've come together to recreate that intimate relationship. Just one more point is the wine, right? Only wine has this double seal. Because first of all, the rabbis tell us, Chazal tell us, Yayin misamach levav enish. There's no simcha without wine, right? And we know that. We raise a cup tomorrow night for Shabbat, for Yom Tov. We're gonna make Kiddush, right? Under the chuppah, wine is simcha. It makes us happy. By taking the external wine and drinking it, it creates a sense of simcha. But also, it has another utility to create social distancing between the Kedushat Yisrael, the holy sanctity of Am Yisrael, and the rest of the world. We interact with the rest of the world, Kodesh and Chol, we interact with the world, but we interact and we represent a totally different species of interaction. We are that mingling of Kodesh and Chol, and we'll deal with the rest of the world, but to a limit. Wine is a remembrance, a reminder to keep our distance, social distancing. It's a reminder to avoid social intercourse, which could lead to a complete return to ta'aruvot, to intermarriage. Okay, that's that. Let's go to page 2, a little less esoteric idea. I don't think we're going to get to page 3, but let's do page 2. And it really continues the theme. It's all about, I mean, God gives us these two seals, but we give it to ourselves, right? It's our avodah. It's what we do during these 20 days, these two periods of 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur and from Yom Kippur to Hoshana Rabbah, that we flesh out, we flush out our potential. And we do it, we create the chasima, right? We manufacture the wine. But listen to this. Let's go to Bezot HaBracha, and it relates to the parsha that we're going to read on Shabbat, the parsha of Shmini Atzeret, right? Culmination of Hoshana Rabbah. Now, this is from a sefer called Kanfei Yonah, which you might not be familiar with because it just came out a few weeks ago. It happens to be my sefer on the parsha in Hebrew. And I want to read to you, I want to learn with you one piece from the end of, from Parshat Vezot HaBracha, and it looks long, but it's not, it's long, but maybe not long-winded, okay? So let's go. Vezot HaBracha, this is the opening pasuk of the Parsha. Vezot HaBracha, this is the bracha, Asher Berach Moshe, Isha Elohim, Moshe, the man of God, gave a blessing to Bnei Yisrael, Lifnei Moto, before he died. Right, this is the opening pasuk. Now, it says Vezot. Why does it say V? Hamila Rishona Shel Parshazu Matchila Ba'od Vav. It begins with the letter Vav. Now we know Shehena Ot Mechaberet. The letter Vav is Osachibur. It is a conjunctive. And Ani V'ata Holchim L'Kotel HaMa'aravi. Right? The Vav is conjunctive. And it relates to something already. So when it says V'zot HaBracha, what's it relating to? Right? So ha'uvda shaparsha matchila ba'od vav, ba'od zu, since the parsha begins with the letter vav, mivatat al pi klali adiktuk, according to grammar, right? Shapasuk hainu hemshech shalketa acher. It's relating to something else. What's it relating back to? So you would say to me, well, it's relating to the previous, last week's parsha, right? Hazinu. I don't know. Chazal b'medrash tanoyim. There's an obscure medrash that says, Lomdim mikan sheparsha zu ena hemshech shel brachas shenos heinu heinu hina. They are a hemshech to the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave at the end of Parshas Vayikra. Right. So the brachas of Moshe is a continuation, a continuum of the brachas of Avram, of Yaakov. In the next paragraph, I ask a very simple question: what do we need two brachas for? Yaakov Avinu's brachas were not enough. What is added by the brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu? And if you look at the brachas, they're essentially the same. There are certain differences, but they are essentially the same, right? So in order to answer the question, we first have to understand what a bracha is. We all know why there are two brachas. What is the need, the necessity of two brachas? What is the utility of Moshe's bracha? What are they adding to Yaakov's brachas, which seem to be enough, right? So in order to answer that question, we first have to understand what's a bracha, right? What is a bracha? A bracha is not abracadabra, right? If I say to my child, you know, I give you a bracha that you're going to be a concert violinist. And my daughter, my son, they have absolutely no interest in music. They don't like music. They like to play and listen to music, but they don't want to play. Or I tell my son, you're going to become a Major League Baseball player. But he's not interested in sports, right? So is that going to happen, abracadabra? That's not what a bracha is, right? A bracha is, and this is the third paragraph, and we'll say it, that this is from the Nefesh HaChayim. I'll say it outside. I'll try to say everything outside because time is moving on. The Rav Chaim Volozhin in the Nefesh HaChayim explains, you say that all bracha is from Loshen Brecha. Brecha. Brecha is a fountain, right? A fountain where the water keeps coming. The source of water is coming from the fountain. We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all bracha. So when we say Baruch Atah Hashem, we're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the source of all bracha, right? That, by the way, Baruch is also same shoresh as Berach, the knee. We bend our knee to you. We submit to you. We surrender to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Atah Hashem, we surrender to you because you are Brecha. You are the source of all blessing. So, well, what does a blessing do? A blessing flushes out our potential. It is a praise. I'm saying something, giving a bracha to somebody, a real bracha. Again, it's not abracadabra. Just, I'm going to give you a bracha. You want to be this? Okay. A bracha is flushing out with the potential. A father, a mother, understand who their children are, and they recognize that each child has to be developed individually, independently, right? And the bracha has to reflect the singularity of the person that you're giving a bracha to, right? So, and there has to be an understanding that I want to do what's best for you. And for example, I mentioned here in the fourth paragraph, I'm going to try to do this orally, that we say on Shabbos Mevorchim, right? Mevorchim as a Chodesh, right? Shabbos Mevorchim, which of course we didn't have for Tishrei, but we say that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us, to answer Mishalot Libeinu Latova, that all of our requests should be answered for good. That's a strange phrase. Why doesn't it say we have Rabbanu Shalom, answer Kol Mishalot HaTovot Libeinu? But we don't say that. We don't say answer all of our good requests, right? We say answer all of our requests for good. There's a subtle difference, right? If I have a child and he's 11 years old and he decides, you know what he wants? He wants a motorcycle. So he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his yaldut kite, and he says, please God, give me a motorcycle. That's my good request. That's what I want, right? Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows better, right? So, and we have to be mature enough to say, give me my requests, not my good requests, my motorcycle, but give me my request, which is a motorcycle, for good. And sometimes no is the answer that I'm supposed to get. So that's this subtle distinction between Mishalot Libeinu HaTovot, that we don't ask for, maybe we should, but we don't. We ask for Mishalot Libeinu LaTova. Because sometimes the answer is no, right? Because it's about developing, a bracha is about developing our potential, what we need, what we really need, who we are, what we are, who we are, and that's what a bracha is. It is an attempt to give us the tools to fulfill our potential. Okay, last paragraph on the first column. Be or not, well, okay, we can leave that out. No, we don't need that. Now, go to the second column. All of the potential that was given to the Shvatim, to us, to Jews, was given to all of the 12 tribes by Yaakov Avinu. First paragraph. Ba'ofen klali on the second column. Eitzel klal Yisrael, for Knesset Yisrael, for the Jewish people, shorsho shel hateva hapnimi, the source of our internal genetic makeup, our spiritual genetic makeup, right? Nature, right? Megia me'avot hakdoshim, comes from originally Avram, and Yitzhak and Yaakov. Heim elu shesolu lanu et haderech haverichshu et hayesodot aleihem anu yechol livnot et avodat Hashem hamaleh shlanu. Based on the genetic, spiritual genetic that Avram gave to Yitzhak, and Yitzhak gave to Yaakov, and Yaakov gave to the Shvatim, that is the potential of Klal Yisrael. The original potential came from the Avot and the Imaot, from Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Now, how do we know that? So, in the second paragraph, I discuss another comment of Reb Chaim Volozhin on Pirkei Avot. You have two Mishnayot in Pirkei Avos, one after the other. One Mishnah says, it presents the chronology of Jewish history. There are 10 generations, Asara Doros mi Noach and Avraham. There are 10 generations from Noach to Avraham. Okay? The next Mishnah. Ba'asara nisyonot nisnasa Avraham Avinu. Avraham was tested with 10 tests. But it doesn't say Avraham, it says Avraham Avinu. How come when the Mishnah presents the chronology, the chronological progression of Jewish history, it says from Noah to Avram. But when it talks about the 10 tests that Avram Avinu passed, he's called Avraham Avinu, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, a majestic idea. Every test that Avram Avinu passed created a genetic part, spiritual genetic of Avram Avinu, which was passed on to every generation, potentially to every Jew. For example, the first test was Lech Lecha, not knowing where he was going, but to go to Eretz Yisrael, and to go there, go everything he went through to get there, to go there. If a Jew today has a sense, a desire to make Aliyah, has a desire to engage in Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, in whatever way, that comes from Avraham Avinu, from that test. It was genetically passed on to us. This is the bracha, the potential bracha that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov gave to the Shvatim. Each Shevet, with a keen understanding that Yaakov Avinu had of the uniqueness of each Shevet and the unique contribution that each Shevet will make, and we all have inherited that genetic. But what happened is, that was before the Torah was given on Har Sinai. Once the Torah was given on Har Sinai, we now have a second source of our potential. The first source was nature. You've all heard of this discussion between nature and nurture, right? What motivates me? Well, we believe that it's both nature, the Birchas Avos, our natural spiritual genetics that we receive from the Avotenu and Imaot, right? But there's another, there's nurture. And once the Torah was given through Moshe Rabbeinu, we now have a different source of bracha, of potential, and that's nurture. That's from Torah itself. So there is a necessity for another set of brachas to call Yisrael. And that answers our original question. The first brachas were brachas of nature, brachas of our internal genetic makeup, spiritually, from Yaakov Avinu, from the Avot and the Imaot. But once the Torah was given, there's another set of brachas that come from Moshe Rabbeinu, the brachas of Torah, the spirituality, the nurture that we can strive through the Birchas HaTorah of our genetic makeup, of our existence, of Am Yisrael, right? The nation of Torah. And that's why, and I just conclude in the final paragraph, the Nahug Shekaasher Shematchilim Shlav Chadash B'chayim. It has become a custom by Jews. When a Jew goes into a new plateau, a new rite of passage, a new moment in his life, kemo lemashal nisuin, he gets married, she gets married. O hachlata mashma'ut acheret, goes into a career, choice. Hey, what yeshiva I'm going to choose to go to, what career I'm going to choose in life, right? Ponim el ha'arim ve'el ha'rabanim. So what do? Chos and Kala get a bracha from their parents, and they get a bracha from their Rav, from their Rebbe. A great moment in life, I go to my parents for a bracha, and I go to my Rebbe for a bracha, because there are two different kinds of brachas. This is common practice for us in the faith community, that at great moments in our lives, we seek out a bracha, a blessing from our Rav and from our Av and our Aim, because there are two very different kinds of brachas that come together, that converge, the brachas of our nature and our nurture, the brachas of our avot and imot, and the brachas of our Torah. That is the reason why there are two brachas. And that is the parsha of Vezor HaBracha, because that's what we've been dealing with for these 20 days, is developing our potential. Okay, as I say, we're not going to get to the third page. Our time is actually almost running out. I can maybe tell you outside what I wanted to say here. In that first pasuk of the parsha, Avram of Moshe is called Moshe Ish HaElokim, the man of God. What does that mean? What's that all about? So the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, which is number 6 on the sheet, explains that essentially Moshe really was not naturally the great Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he aligned himself and created, which is really the ultimate goal of our lives, to create an intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. That's what it's all about. An intimate, through the improving the quality of our mitzvot, to including the improving the quality of our Talmud Torah, of learning Torah, is to create an intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We continue to emphasize this, and we can't emphasize it enough. But what the Orach Chaim says, Moshe Rabbeinu became Moshe Rabbeinu because he decided to become Ish Elokim. Not just Ish, but Ish Elokim. His Yirat Shemayim, he developed a relationship. And this long piece in the middle is an obscure medrash brought from the Tiferet Yisrael in his commentary on the Mishnayot, which is a medrash of a questionable source, where an Arab king heard about the great Moshe Rabbeinu. He commissioned a famous artist to draw a picture to go and observe Moshe Rabbeinu in the Machane Yisrael, draw a picture of him, and then he brought it to his Chachamim of physiography, that they could look at it and psychologically and physiograph to look at the picture and determine what kind of a person he was. Now, if any of you who have ever been to the Museum of Natural History or the Metropolitan Museum in wherever, you've seen the work of the great Renaissance masters, and you know that a Rembrandt of a human face is more real than a photograph, the best photograph. It's uncanny, the gift that these artists had. Well, he commissioned such an artist, and he drew Moshe Rabbeinu from what he saw. And he took it to his psychologists and whatever, and they said, this man is a Rasha, he's the worst person, he's done the worst things in the world. That's what this Medrash is saying. So he goes and he says, one of you is lying. So he went to Moshe Rabbeinu. He went to Moshe Rabbeinu, he looked at the picture, he looked at Moshe Rabbeinu, it was exact. And when he saw Moshe Rabbeinu, the aura of his Kedusha overwhelmed him, and he saw that he was a holy person. And he said to him, but this picture, tell me, this is the picture they drew, it's you. And this is what my psychologist, my advisors told me. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, according to the Medrash, they're both right. Picture's good, and that's really who I am. That's who I was. But because I developed a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And I created that intimate relationship. I have been able to create a koach sheni, a new persona of myself. That's who I am, right? We have, in a certain sense, through these 20 days, this period, we're at a point now where we've all done the same thing, each in our own way, right? Ishal machaneh, ishal diglo. This will be a hard simchas Torah for us, a very hard simchas Torah, but I urge you all to, of course, wear a mask, it's a given, and to adhere to social distancing. The hakafas on Simchas Torah should be with social distancing, not touching, not holding hands, dancing around the Torah a little bit, maybe even dancing, singing, moving our feet a little bit. We want to get that kol, that synthesis of voice and movement of kol and tenua, but not too much. Be careful. We have to be careful. Sakonas nefoshes, pikuach nefesh is tocha kol mitzvot shebetorah. So I wish everybody a chag sameach, a pitkatava, we say in Chinese, a good kvittel, a pitkatava that our chatima, our seal, should be final and good and pure and with great clarity that we come to the new year of Bereshit to recreate and redevelop that new relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Thank you all for your patience. It's been a pleasure.